Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Of the psychological game that we would have. Me and him never talked.
I was just about to say that.
We rarely talked to each other. It was like, Pat not going to say nothing to me. I'm not going to say nothing to Pat. Pat going to grab me. I'm going to push off. Hey, ref, you saw that. And it was so much respect, man. It was always, right. It was always fun and irritating going against your good ass.
Yo, what's happening? Welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave us a 5-star rating. Smash that 5-star rating button for us. We appreciate it. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Man, Mac, you know we got to talk about the divisional rounds. It was some entertaining football, crazy, crazy moments that we're going to have an opportunity to chat about. But most intriguing, we get an opportunity to talk to one of the toughest receivers of all time. I had an opportunity to go up against this guy. I'm sure you had an opportunity to go up against this guy because he's a 16-year vet.
No question.
That's right, 16-year vet Steve Smith Sr. coming near you very, very soon.
So stay tuned. Yo, guys, you know what time it is. First quarter. It's time to chop it up. Chop it up. We're going to chop some things up with you guys. There's a lot of, you know, moving pieces right now in the National Football League with a lot of new coaches getting hired, new faces in new places. And we had this conversation with Steve Smith. Make sure you, Steve Smith Sr., make sure you stay tuned. He talked about one of the more influential football minds throughout his career that he crossed paths with at Santa Monica College before he attended Utah. And Pat P, you've been around the game of football for a long, long time. You know, when you look at some of the more influential people that you've been around in the game of football, doesn't necessarily has to be in the professional world, but just in football alone, you know, who are some of the most important people in your life that kind of guided you to where you currently are in your football realm?
Man, I tell you this all the time. You, for sure, you one of them. I have an opportunity to be, you know, a 16-year-old kid, have an opportunity to watch his big cousin, you know, at 21 years old, fulfill his dreams, watch the work ethic, you know, watch, you know, the dedication and the time that you had to share with to your game. So you, for one, you know what I mean? You just showed me a ton of ropes because, you know, I think I would always tell guys this a lot as well. I believe I was in the NFL before I was actually in the NFL. You know what I mean? Have an opportunity to hang out with you and be around with you and that life. And when I got here, it was almost like second age. Like, oh, I saw that. Like, I've been through that when I was 16, 17 years old. So you, for one, growing up, my dad is my pop's been in my life since day one when it comes to, you know, football, far as the work ethic, far as, you know, preparation, the grind that has to go into the game. You two guys are sure on the professional aspect. I probably have to say I didn't have a very long time to spend with him, but he recruited me when he was with the Miami Dolphins. It is Coach Bowles, Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles, okay.
Yeah, I feel like Coach Bowles definitely helped me shape my game into what it is now. Coach Bowles had the opportunity to coach me, you know, year 3 and 4. And with Coach Bowles being, you know, a defensive back, you know, played at a high level in this league and, you know, been around a lot of great defensive backs and, you know, just gave me a bunch of nuggets on, you know, how to work, how to be a professional, how to study, how to practice, you know, just small things like that. So, you know, Coach Bowles definitely, you know, I tell him all the time, every time I get an opportunity to see him, I wish I get an opportunity to play with him again because Coach Bowles definitely, he's a special, special football minded, coach. And I definitely cherish all the moments that we had an opportunity to spend together.
Do you think Todd Bowles should be a head coach? Should he get another opportunity to be a head coach? I think he's interviewing with the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. So,
with the Eagles?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Oh, they fired Doug?
Yeah, they fired Doug Peterson.
When that happened? Man, I was on vacation, man. I was in jail, man, this weekend. When that happened?
Man, they fired Doug, I think, last week, not mistaken. Yeah. Last Monday, they fired Doug.
Y'all just heard it here first. P2 just heard it on All Things Covered.
No question. You're in off-season mode. I know when you get in off-season mode, man, you're going to be in the air more than you're going to be on dry land. So.
Oh, man, how crazy is that, man?
Hey, you were like, with the Eagles? Hey, that was breaking news, huh?
No doubt about it.
Boy said, with the Eagles.
Man. So, wait, Tyler, let's recap, man. What jobs are all open right now? I saw Atlanta just hired Arthur Smith. So, what jobs?
The Jets. The Jets hired Robert Saleh from the...
I saw that, yep.
From the 49ers. Jacksonville got Urban Meyer.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they got Urban Meyer also.
Oh, man, I knew Urban was talking about coming out of retirement. That's big, going back to his roots in Florida. Okay.
Detroit is looking like they're going to get Campbell. The tight ends coach from the Saints.
Oh yeah, he's been interviewing a lot over the last couple.
Chargers got Brandon Staley, the DC from the Rams.
Oh, he came up quick.
Quick. Okay. When you coach with Sean McVay, you're gonna come up quick. So that
man, he came up quick. All right,
and so the only vacancies left, the Texans and Philly.
Okay.
So you got Todd Bowles. He's interviewing with the Eagles.
Man, I won't be surprised though. Is my man Eric
Bieniemy?
Yeah, is he interviewing? I think that'd be a great job.
He's not gonna get a job. He's not gonna happen. We're gonna talk about that a little later in the show, but it probably won't happen. Well, you know, the Texans are trying to interview him now, but it's like that's a sympathy gesture, I think, because Deshaun Watson got mad at them.
Yeah, I did see that. I was up on that. He said,
"Oh, you up on that? Right, oh, you up on that?
I'm up on that. Yeah, I'm up on that. I just wasn't up on the coaching.
Eagles.
Yeah, I just wasn't up on. I'm up on everything as far as the games, but I was not up on the Eagles firing Doug. That's shocking news.
Man. Doug is out of there. Last Monday, they told Doug kick rocks.
He got to go because Dang. All right. Yeah. Just keep chopping it up.
That's another. Hey, that's what we do here. Chopping it up. We also break big time news. So. Yeah, you got Todd Bowles. He might get that opportunity.
But, yeah, going back to Todd Bowles, I think he definitely is deserving of a head. Because, you know, look at the what he had in New York.
Yeah, the Jets.
You know, didn't have much talent, but he still was able to make it. You know, I think his last year was probably his worst year, bit with a lot of injuries. But his first 2 years, he was rolling. Mm-hmm. And he was rolling with what he had. You know what I mean? And, you know, we don't have to Jamal actually told us a little bit, you know, about the front office. So, you know, I heard a couple of stories too. I don't want to get into that, but you know, that the organization was ran a little different. So, I think Coach Bowles is definitely worthy enough for another head coaching job.
Well, every day it seems like there will be some breaking news when it comes to these head coaching opportunities. So, as long as you're here with us on dry land, you be caught up to just speed.
Just on the weekends, man. Weekends, man.
No doubt. Now it's time for Around the League. And like Pat mentioned, man, in the intro, man, divisional weekend was unbelievable. Yeah. It was a lot of top tier like football that I watched, that I know you guys watched, that are currently watching us here, All Things Covered, and listening to us. And the first game I would like to highlight, AFC matchup, Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cleveland Browns. Kansas City won 27-17. They did not cover. They were given 10 points to the Cleveland Browns, and I picked the Browns to cover that matchup, and they came through for me. But one of the big 22-17, one of the big highlights in that ball game, right before halftime, Pat, Rashard Higgins, they were driving. The Browns were driving. I think at that time they were down 16-3. They were down 16-3. And remember, like I said, they won the ball game. Kansas City won 22-17. They were down 16-3 right before half, and they were receiving the second half kickoff after halftime. The Browns were. Rashard Higgins, Hollywood Higgins is what they call him, big-time contributor to the offense, caught a pass, tried to extend, got hit by Sorensen, ball goes out of the end zone. Automatic touchback. Kansas City gets the ball, drive down, added 3 points to the score, go into halftime 19-3. That was a turning point in the ball game, in my opinion. There were a lot of people who watched that ball game were basically saying the NFL need to change the rules. They were complaining about if you fumble the football and it goes out of the end zone, the team that fumbled the football should receive the ball back at the 20-yard line. A lot of people are saying this is the worst. Hear me out. Folks are saying this is the worst rule in football. So me personally, I have my opinion about it. I want to hear your opinion about it. I know the people are listening to us, watching us. They have their opinion about it as well. And if you want to join into this conversation, tweet us, send us a message. You know, I know you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, whatever the case may be. But let us hear your viewpoints. But Pat, what's your thought process about changing that rule?
First of all, that's not the worst call in the NFL. The worst call in the NFL is a spot foul for a pass.
And you've talked about that before on the show, so I know
that is the worst call by far in the NFL. But by going back to changing the rule with fumbling the ball through the end zone, now that's a touchback. it can't go back to this one. You lost possession. So if it goes out of bounds, you get the ball back. With out of bounds in the field of play, you get the ball back there. But if it goes through the end zone,
out of end zone,
yeah,
throughout
the end zone, that's a touchback. Yeah.
I'm like, this at home.
That's not a bad rule. That's just the rule of thumb. It cannot go through the end zone. It's been like that since football started.
And me personally, you know, you play defense. I play defense. There are so many rules catered to the offensive side already as it is. Mm. I feel like you should not be rewarded for fumbling the football.
No. Especially
if a defender knocked you loose from the – it was a great play by Sorensen.
A hell of a
– if the ball goes out of the end zone, that's your fault.
How the refs do it?
Yes. If it goes out of the end zone, that's a touchback. Like, people are complaining about they should change the rule. Why should you be rewarded the football back if you fumbled the football and it went out of the end zone?
But there you go, Matt. That goes to show you, the viewers, all they want to see is offense and all they want to see is points. Man, that hell – come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So why we don't have these discussions about, you know, the spot foul on defensive passing?
They don't care anything about the spot foul.
They want that.
Hey, you broke it down so good. If a PI happens down the football field on the goal ball, 40 yards down, why can't they just add it 15 or 10 yards? Like,
Mac,
you broke it down as good as you could.
Prime example last night. Tampa Bay, New Orleans game. I think it was Mike Evans, and I can't remember the DB. I think it was number 23. I can't remember who it was.
Lattimore?
No. It was a Tampa Bay DB.
I can't remember his name.
But anyway, he was in the slot. I can't remember. I think it was Michael Thomas. But Michael Thomas clearly called. They called holding on the DB, but clearly came off the line of scrimmage, held my man face mask, got this man face mask all like this year. His jersey, the DB jersey's like this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the DB's out of position. So now he got to get back in position to defend the play because the receiver, you know, manipulated his body to get in position or whatever. And it wasn't like no tug or no pull or anything. All he did was wrap him to get back in position to knock the ball down. They call holding the DB is he was dead.
Murphy Button was the DB that you're talking about.
And he was in great position, and all the receiver did was grab his face mask, and as he was grabbing his face mask, it came to like the top of his shoulder. And so now his shoulder is locked to where he can't even finish his jam off.
Yeah.
So now his arm fall down low, and now he has to wrap himself back in position to try to defend the play. But I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, because if you're watching the beginning of the route, watch what the receiver's doing to initiate that.
You know, that's
just what kills me, because it happened. Who we just played, it was against Philly. Man, Alshon Jeffery was doing that to me. If we can go back and watch the whole game. One time, I had my sleeve on my left arm.
He pulled it down. Didn't he pull it down?
Man, my sleeve was down to my wrist, man. I said, ref, I can't undress myself if I'm guarding him.
Hey, Pat P, the ref said that you had a slack sleeve. Ain't had no tightness to it no more.
There's another thing that I hate, too. There's so many things that I hate about the game. So in the same Tampa Bay game, it was 24, and I think he was going up against
Carlton Davis.
Carlton Davis was going up against, who's 17? Emmanuel Sanders. The ball is on the other side of the field. Yeah, he got legal hands to the face. but it's away from the ball. And it was a third down. It was a third down play, and they didn't get it, but they converted after he got the legal hands to the face. So now that's away from the play, right? So now the ref tells me if I get pushed off or I feel like I'm getting held away from the play, he goes, oh, that's away from the play. I can't call that, Patrick. So no. what made him call that legal hands to the face that had nothing to do with the play that was on the other side of the field made you call that play versus if the receiver was doing something to me?
Man, you know, it's one-sided. And a lot of fans, listeners, you're getting some jewels dropped to you because these are things that happen in play that you don't see. You know what I mean? So
right. These
are things that defensive backs have to go through week in and week out.
I'm like,
only
man.
Thing I can say about that play in Cleveland, it should have been targeted because Sorensen did lead with his helmet. You know what I mean? That's the only thing that I agree with for some of the spectators are saying about that play. But touchback should be taken out of the game.
No. Stop.
If you get an interception and you return it all the way back to the house, and someone hits you and the ball goes out of the end zone, guess what?
It's a touchback. Ally, Ben Watson, Champ Bailey. Divisional.
Might be the greatest, playoff. One of the greatest hustle plays I've seen in the National Football League.
No doubt about it.
Yes, yes. Think about that. I didn't hear people complaining then. Oh, they should change the rule. Right. No one complained. Great point, Pat Pete. When that happened, everybody was applauding Ben Watson for the effort, no doubt, great deserving effort. So. But I didn't hear nobody complain. Change the rule. Oh, that's a dumb rule. No, you know why no one complained? Because it was a defender.
We the villain, man. We the villain. I tell my guys all the time, man. We the bad guys, man.
You the bad guys.
No Why question. Not embrace it, goddammit?
Might as well. They don't like you anyway. They don't want to see you just dominate. People get mad when it's a 10-6 ball game. Right. When the defense is it, first thing I hear people say all the time, the score is 7-3 or 10-6. It's boring.
Yeah, nobody it's a boring game. I love those games. I love that.
You gotta have the ugly matchups.
And make it so bad. What makes those games so great? Everything matters. When the game is that tight, everything matters.
The smallest mistake will not go unheard.
And you know what? That goes to show you your preparation. When those post games, that goes to show how well you prepare for that game. Because now
that's a boring game.
That's a boring game.
I remember the Super Bowl with the Rams and the Patriots.
That was a slugfest. I mean, that's what a Super Bowl is all about, man.
Yo, you hit me, I hit you.
And it was plays made in that game, but it wasn't as big of plays that the fans was accustomed seeing.
No question, man. That is the life of a defender.
Right. Here,
all things covered. We're going to transition to the NFC. A place you know extremely well, New Orleans. The Saints lost to the Buccaneers 30-20. Likely the last game for Drew Brees. And a friend of the show, your homeboy, Tyron Matthew, he tweeted out, being from New Orleans, Drew Brees meant everything to us in that city. At many times, our only hope, you know, to smile and feel good, to live in a winning reality. That man gave us all life. None of us are perfect, but he was close. Salute. Man, hearing that this potentially could be Drew Brees' last game, the National Football League. Like I said, you know that area extremely well, going to college there, you know. Mm-hmm. When you were there, what did Drew Brees mean to the city?
Man, Drew Brees was like God, man. He still is. I mean, what he was able to do, you know, like Tyron said, to give those people hope, to help them believe. You know, when they won that Super Bowl, I was actually in school when they won that Super Bowl. So, like, when they won the Super Bowl, it was like, man, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because I'll never forget. I was at Jordan's house when they won it in Miami and just watching it, it just seemed like the whole atmosphere just changed instantly. You know what I mean? Because, you know, everything, you know, over the years has been the trash bag, New Orleans Saints, you know, obviously so many disasters coming through the Gulf and Louisiana. And for them to win a Super Bowl, and like you said, that gave them so much life and hope because, believe it or not, man, New Orleans got some diehard fans. Louisiana in general got some diehard fans. So if it's someone like Drew Brees that feel like they have backing them, that gave them much more of a purpose to, you know, to cheer for him because they'd be like, man, that guy, he's looking out for us. He care about us. He's out in the city. He's actually out, you know, in the city helping things become better. So that dude is like God, man, and there's nothing Drew Brees couldn't do wrong. You know, no matter what may have came out of his mouth or whatever he may have done, it wasn't nothing Drew Brees can do wrong in New Orleans people's eyes.
He will forever be, you know, loved in that city because, you know, the Hurricane Katrina tragedy.
Yeah.
And I remember, that's why I worked out at for the draft
right.
in New Orleans. And that was before Katrina. And then when that happened, I mean, that tragedy kind of took life.
That's out what I'm of New saying. Orleans.
The yeah. entire state, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to say the least. And football is what kind of got the energy back, positive right. vibes back. And I remember mm-hmm. that first home game.
Like a Monday night.
Against Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That and if I'm not mistaken, I think they won that ball game, but just mm-hmm. the energy in the building yeah. was electric.
And I think and then, that's like when it said, changed.
Yeah, and eventually being able to win a championship for that organization and just miss the consistency. I think when I think of Drew Brees, his career, I think of work, probably one of the more efficient, accurate quarterbacks to ever right. do it. You know right. what I mean? One of the more ideal, undersized quarterbacks. His peers were all bigger than him. He wasn't the mm-hmm. the model quarterback based on his measurements, but up here in the accuracy, oh, yeah. top.
So, no doubt about it.
I know he has a special place, you know, in the hearts of all the natives there in New Orleans and will forever be remembered. Not to mention he brought a championship to that city. Another NFC matchup, a matchup that we highlighted, we talked about last week, the Packers and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers were giving six and a half. Six mm-hmm. and a half. They were giving six and a half. There was another. I was, Pat P, listen. Well, I was hot this week.
Boy, oh, yeah?
I was hot. I took Buccaneers. I took Tampa getting three. I took Cleveland getting 10. And I took Green Bay giving 6.5. They yeah. covered 32-18. One of the matchups that I was looking forward to seeing was Davante Adams. But one thing that I highlighted in the discussion that I had off camera, that people were so hyped about this potential matchup one-on-one, Jalen, Davante. But I said the scheme would not provide those matchups to yeah. happen as much as I you agree. Think. Because they love to have Davante at number three wide right. receiver
spot. Slot. He's always inside.
Or the number two.
Yeah.
And if he is to the number two, to the strength of the offense, usually they will motion him backside.
Back to the trip, yep.
And they did that a lot. And we didn't really see the matchup, the one-on-one opportunities like we thought we would see, the volume of opportunities. But I can tell you this much, Adams finished with 9 receptions for 66 yards, 1 touchdown. And the touchdown was basically a speed release. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the goal line, it looked like the communication was not there. Because what happened was, let me break it down to you. They were in, I want to say, 21 personnel. 21 personnel is basically two wide receivers, two running backs, one tight end, one mm-hmm. and two wide receivers, 21 personnel. Davante motioned from the strength to the weak side to so the boundary.
They started in slot?
No, he was to the strong. He was to the strong pro. Side. Yeah,
so pro.
So they motioned the slot. But what happened was, I think it was 21. It could have been 11 personnel, one back, okay. one tight end.
Okay.
But he motioned to the boundary, and right when he got to the end of the line of scrimmage, they hiked the ball.
Yeah, he just ran straight out.
Ran straight yeah. out. So Jalen was chasing, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lot of traffic you got to get through. It's like on a 2 or 3 yard line. Mm-hmm. The traffic and the communication, you know, Pat P, if I'm playing that backside corner and I see you running, I'm locked into my man.
Because right.
if we hadn't talked about switching it, I'm going to stay in and you just got to fight through the traffic. But it seemed right. like it was a communication error. And that was the one big play that Jalen gave up. But in all, it was a pretty good matchup. But right now, those two guys are probably, you know, some of the best to do it at their positions.
Right.
And Davante got the last laugh because this team won and they have advanced to the next round. But one thing I would like to ask you, when it comes to that standpoint, and if this is something that you really haven't seen a lot on tape, right, film mm-hmm. study, can you make that communication adjustment on the fly?
Or oh, yeah. Because actually the Rams run that same play with
right.
Robert Woods.
You're right.
So what we do is if we're in a dog one or anything like that. Or you know,
which is straight man-to-man for our listeners.
Which is straight man-to-man. And, but if we're in the red zone, we know we have a free player, which is a safety. So now we know he getting jet. We're gonna give us a money call right now because the safety got a better angle of attacking that speed out versus me having to run through all the traffic and try to make that play. So mm-hmm. prior to the game, we go through those film studies of, cause we got to go through Green Bay anyway, cause they're a team that will go for two. So we're looking at all their 2-point plays.
Yeah. That is an ideal 2-point play.
Right. Cause there's like a 2-yard line, 2-3 yard line. So,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so we're looking at all those 2-point plays. And when those plays come up, it's crazy because like Steve talked about earlier, looking at those same boring plays on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But being a pro that I am, I watch, you know, I want to watch everything. I want to watch the stuff that the coach is not showing us, because that's what pertains to you to being a pro and you being prepared when you step out there on the field, because at the end of the day, is your play what speaks for itself. So, you know, I go through those plays and we'll have a communication. It might not be a play that we go through full speed. It might be a play that we just walk through. You know, we just might just walk through on the Friday or the Friday before practice or that Saturday before the game. And that just goes through those little answers to where that you prepare. But that just goes with being a pro. I don't know what happened in that particular moment, but if it was us, I'm sure we would have been some type of dog one. We have a free safety. And as soon as we saw Devontae motion or whatever, we would have had a money call on it.
But Jalen was very, very animated, and it seemed like, I don't know if the communication was there or was not there, but he was animated, and it was towards the nearest DB. So it seemed like someone didn't get the check. But, you know, hey, that's how it happens sometimes. You know, try to make adjustments on the fly doesn't always work out. So let's advance to the championship weekend. This upcoming weekend, AFC, we got Kansas City hosting Buffalo Bills. He played against the Bills. NFC, we got the Packers hosting Tampa Bay. I mean, top-tier talent on both sides of the football. In the NFC, Tampa is hot. Captain America Tom Brady's playing some big-time football. I call him Captain America. Hey, but one player that I like to highlight with you, Green Bay-wise, you know, we just talked about Devontae, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, you know, that offense. But, yo, they defense been balling. And they got a young dog in that secondary, Jair Alexander, who don't play the radio. You know what I mean? This is a matchup solid between the last Alexander 2 years. And Mike Evans, man. What you think about that matchup?
I think that's gonna be a chess match. You know, I think it's gonna be a very, very intriguing matchup. I think in that game we will see a lot of volume of a matchup. You know, because you know, Mike Evans is primarily an X receiver, so he's outside, and Alexander's gonna pretty much be left and right. Primarily the outside corner. So we will see what we've been wanting to see in this championship game. But I'm going to take the edge on, I'm going to give the game, like I told you, Green Bay, they hot right now. I got them going to the Super Bowl. I got Green Bay winning. Interesting stat about, I just think that cold weather going to get to them Buccaneers, man. I don't know. They say it's going to be a chance of snow. I think it's like 10%, 10 miles per hour wind or something like that.
That's the kicker. It's the wind.
It's the wind.
The snow ain't an issue. It's the wind when it comes to throwing the football.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a big factor, because we know, you know, I've been in BA offense, you know, doing those deep outs, you know, those comebacks, you know, I think that's going to be kind of difficult for them to do. So it's going to be kind of intriguing to see, you know, how they attack this Green Bay defense. But I think Green Bay come out on top. But I will love to see Tampa win, because I would love to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and also my guy Todd Bowles, B.A., Byron Leftwich, which I would love to see all those boys in the Super Bowl.
Larry Foote. They got a lot of guys.
But I just think, as far as the matchup, I think Green Bay will win, though.
I think the line is 3.5 right now. I'll take Tampa getting 3.5. I don't expect to see a lot of scoring based on the strong winds. So I take Tampa. And then when it comes to the AFC, yo, I like Buffalo.
I do too, man. I do too, man.
I don't know exactly what the line is, but me personally, I take the money line and don't take any points with Buffalo and take Buffalo to win straight up. But I'll take the points if they're going to give them to me, so I will take the points. But them Bills, bro.
And I'm going to tell you what my thing is with, you know, the Chiefs. I said this before, they always start hot.
Yeah. The Chiefs are -3 right now. The Chiefs are -3.
But for some odd reason, they always just hit like this low. And I think the Bills offense, whew, they can't afford to have no low this game. I think the Bills offense is so well-rounded as far as the run attack, the pass attack, the dynamic attack that Josh Allen provides, the tight ends. I think this is going to be a game that they have to be clicking on all cylinders every single drive.
You got to. Because if Pat Mahomes is healthy, oh, by the way, I know you was in the air all weekend. Pat Mahomes went to sleep. He got concussed.
I did see that.
Okay.
I did see that.
And also, too, this past weekend, Tyron Matthew, friend of the show, he came with a big, huge interception.
Oh, yeah. So, I hit him up. Right. I did see that as well. I hit my guy up, man. He having an unbelievable year and just continue balling.
And for the gamblers that are watching us and listening to us, you might want to jump on that line right now, because let's say they announce Pat Mahomes is not playing, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
of the concussion. That line might change a little bit. It might mm-hmm. go from 3 to 1.5.
Right. Know,
with the Bills getting points. So I think you should jump on that line right now before any news comes out about Pat Mahomes being available for this weekend matchup. So championship weekend.
Yes, sir. Not like it.
Get and your popcorn
I,
ready.
And I am not traveling this weekend, so I will be watching both of those.
Oh, you're going to be on dry land?
Yeah, I'm going to be home this weekend. Next weekend, I'm out, though. Yeah, next following weekend, I'm out. I'm out of there.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be back in
the air. Yeah, back in the air somewhere, okay. Going somewhere with my wife.
Yeah. Outside of the championship weekend, big news coming out of Houston. The home of Slim Thug, Paul Wall. A lot of outstanding rappers, Scarface.
Yes, but sir.
Could be.
Beyonce.
Hey, Beyonce, it could be the former home of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Right now, he said he was on 2. Dose. Now he on 10. He on 10. He on that dime alert.
Yeah.
Question for you. I know I have my answer. Do you believe Deshaun Watson will play for the Texans in 2021?
Nope.
Smart man. He will not.
I don't think so. Nah.
Listen, I'm right. You can print the t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Hey, you know what I just saw? They just started a whole petition for him out there, yo. They trying to get him to stay.
He's gone, man. Hey, Pat P, have you ever seen two blind dudes try to walk across the street without a stick?
No, man.
That's an accident waiting to happen. Just imagine two blind dudes trying to walk across the street without a stick.
Yeah, I just saw this, man.
They got the blind leading the blind. In that organization, the top of the organization, they have the blind leading the blind. They can do whatever petition they want. Yeah. That man is gone.
Yeah, man, he out of there. I don't know who he's going to play for, but, hey, you know, I won't be surprised, though, if we see him in the 49ers uniform.
No, listen here. Oh, I'm going to knock my camera over. I'm sorry. But listen here. Hey, real quick, I'm going to read you. I got an ideal team for this show.
Okay, talk to me.
But I'm gonna read you his tweets. We talked about what he said from, you know, he tweeted, "I was on 2, then I took it to 10." That referenced his anger level. He was hot when they traded your new teammate, DeAndre Hopkins. That, you know, pissed them off to some degree. Adam Schefter tweeted out, "There's a growing sense from people in and around the Texas organization that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap for the team. It's early in the offseason. There's a lot of time left. But Watson's feelings cannot and should not be underestimated. He's reportedly upset with the Texans over several issues, including lack of involvement, in which they promised him lack of involvement and input when team hired new GM. And he also has a no-trade clause in his 5-year, $156 million contract he signed last year. So he won't get traded until he said, yeah, I'm okay and being moved. So you said San Francisco, right? Yep. I know a lot of experts, a lot of people are saying Miami, right? I got a better destination for Deshaun Watson.
Talk to me.
What better place would you
Atlanta?
Want to see him thrive in than the media capital of the world?
Okay.
New York City to the Jets. And here's my logic with the Jets. Hear me out. You know they're going to want a handsome ransom for Deshaun Watson, right? They're going to want a lot. There are not a lot of teams that have the resources to be able to provide what the Texans would look in return in moving Deshaun. The Jets do. And I know Miami do, but I don't think Miami want to give the Texans everything they're asking for. Mm-hmm. The Jets can give the Texans this year the number 2 pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 pick. Remember, the Jets have 2 first rounders because they get that first rounder from Seattle in the Jamal Adams trade. So they still got a first round in the 20s, whatever the case may be. You give the Texans number 2 pick. You give the Texans a first rounder next year because they will have 2 first rounders next year because the Seahawks gave them 2 first round picks. So they got 2 first rounders they can give the Texans. This year, a top 3 selection. Next year, we don't even know what that pick would be. And Sam Darnold.
Mm.
So you're basically giving the Texans 3 first rounders. Sam Darnold was a top 10 pick, two years ago, whatever the case may be. You give up the number 2 this year.
Next year, first round.
Next year. And if you want a third, throw in a third or a fourth, whatever the case may be. So you essentially give them 4 picks that are all high-rounded guys. in return for the services of Deshaun Watson. How that sound?
Hey, man, that don't sound bad at all, but I think it has to come with – oh, who is their coach again? Who they hired?
They got Salah.
Salah. Salah's from
– from San Francisco to D.C.
San Francisco. Oh, yeah, yeah, Robert.
Robert.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to come to, you know, who they get in there calling the plays. And I think that's going to be big.
Oh, he brought LaFleur. I think the passing game coordinator from San Francisco. So if he's going to run anything like Kyle Shanahan runs in San Francisco,
right,
you put Deshaun Watson that type of offense?
Oh, yeah. Lights out.
Mike LaFleur is the guy.
That's old boy.
Brother.
Brother, yeah, and then plus they've been coaching together forever,
for a long time.
I think that'd be a great pickup for the Jets. I think that really would go into the media capital, man.
And I heard Deshaun liked New York as well. So this is what I would do if I'm the Jets. I package up that deal because the man is angry. He's trying to James Harden his way out of Houston, right?
Hey, so speaking of James Harden,
yeah,
that was breaking news to me. I saw it, man. I'm on my ESPN app, right?
Yeah.
James Harden, 32 in the Nets debut. I said, what?
Yeah, he had a triple double.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the hell have I been?
Hey, Pat P, when you in the air as much as you be in the air sometimes, you know, you might not get all the updates. You got to be on dry land. You got to be on dry land to get some updates.
Hey, man, my Wi-Fi ain't working properly, man. He got
traded Wednesday. So you didn't know he got traded until after he played for the Nets.
Yeah, so I got to Vail Thursday. Yep. And I saw the drone Friday morning. I was like, what? I said, this got to be like a tight. And I've been hearing about it, but, you know, in the offseason, man, I be with the family, man. The TV don't be on. I get an opportunity to decompress a little bit.
No question. Go get some ice cream.
Yes, sir. That's what we do and get our nails done.
No question. So I think that would be my ideal spot for Deshaun.
I like that.
And also, too, you got to look at, they got cap space. So, if I'm the Jets, I trade away the number two pick. I still got a first round on the back end. But money-wise, I go get Kenny Galladay.
Happens, you got to get a receiver.
Or Allen Robinson, right? I use that first rounder that we got, maybe on the back. You know what I mean? Travis Etienne could be available. I think Najee Harris will be gone. But I definitely see at least two first-round running backs go in the draft. Or I might move up. Or you might want to still add some more fuel to the fire. Go get a guy like Jalen Waddle, if he's available.
So
you can have Deshaun Watson, Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson or Jalen Waddle, along with the other resources you got in the draft and the other money you got available.
Yeah,
man,
they definitely got to start get some guys up front on the defensive side. They need a secondary too. They need some pieces in the secondary everywhere.
Yeah, they need a lot. Yeah, I mean, this is not a one year makeover. Yeah, but I can tell you this much: you talk about post pandemic when you can have fans back in the stadium. Bottom line is going to increase dramatically. Oh, yeah, you got Deshaun Watson and Jets.
They have a lot more primetime games. I mean, Jets had too many primetime games in them when it was trash.
Yeah. it happens when you play in New York. You already know what that is. The perks of where you play. Hey, well, we just went through all the top news that happened this past weekend. And guess what? You guys weren't just fulfilled in on some of the breaking news. Our very own Pat P. Pat P was filled in as well, not knowing Doug Peterson got the axe and freaking James Harden forced his way out of Houston. Now, we're going to take a quick break. It's halftime, but on the other side, we'll be joined by Steve Smith Sr. Stay tuned.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What's up, All Things Covered listeners and viewers? You're back from halftime. We got a chance to make a few adjustments. We also added a member to our team. We promised you guys early in the show another outstanding guest. You guys know how we do it week in and week out. We will be providing you top-notch guests every week. And like I said, we have an unbelievable guy joining us here right now, All Things Covered. Current analyst for the NFL Network, host of the Cut to It podcast. Subscribe now. You can definitely find it anywhere where podcasts are found, just like All Things Covered. 16-year NFL pro, 5-time pro bowler, 2-time first team all pro, in the Carolina Panthers Hall of Fame, and one of the best trash talkers to ever do it. The outstanding Steve Smith joining us here on All Things Covered, man. I hope you feel comfortable because, you know, you got two DBs and we probably going to plow. You know what I mean? Since Pat, I'm going to let Pat play at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to play over the top. So I hope you okay with that.
Man,
the only thing, though, if I'm being honest, man, there was very rarely any time Pat had help over the top covering.
It was I got to put myself in the game plan somehow, right?
Yeah, it was always chess match going against me. I hate going against you, dog.
Talk to me, man. Because we never have an opportunity to chat, man. Talk to me.
Because of the studying I had to do, right? I knew what kind of player you were, despite what people may think about me, I respect a lot of men. I respect a lot of men and one I'm called to, right? By God. And I know my testimony necessarily doesn't always, display that, I'm a believer, but I really am. But I always respected, I always respect guys that I went against. Now my level of respect grew or decreased as I bumped up, brushed up, went against guys. But a lot of times people think that, you know, I've heard people say that I got a huge chip on my shoulder and, you know, I got the short man syndrome. I've been this size since, you know, for a very long time. So I'm pretty confident in my height department. But I think a lot of people don't realize that I had to go through a lot to get respect, you know, to play this game, because it was the way, you know, I trash talked, people would think and slight me. And I think it's interesting, even now that I'm an analyst, the first thing people say, well, how many rings does he have? And it's like, so my rings or lack of rings disqualify my body of work, disqualifies right. my ability to study film. Mm-hmm. And then it's, well, he wasn't that good. He was on the sorry team. Okay, so that disqualifies my 14,000 yards. Like, you don't just wake up and catch 14,000 yards. Just wake up and shut down receivers or make them study extra hard, right? Mm-hmm. Or having them, you know, when I studied you, bro, I literally watched the year I was playing and then the following year or 2 years that I played you, the year behind, just to make sure, have I covered all my bases? Where's the chink in his armor? Mm-hmm. You know, where's his Achilles heel? Where's he going to give me a slight edge? And bro, I did it, you know, every couple of years. And damn it, I'm tired of it. I didn't find too many chinks in your armor. Mm-hmm. So it was always intriguing. It was always good, to go up against you. And I loved the psychological game that we would have. That was the one. Right. Me and him never talked.
I was just about to say that.
We rarely talked to each other. It was like lock in. Right? Pat not gonna say nothing to me. I'm not gonna say nothing to Pat. Pat gonna grab me. I'm gonna push off. Hey ref, you saw that. And it was like, it was so much respect, man. It was always right. It was always fun and irritating going against your good ass.
Hey, the crazy thing about it, I was gonna go back. I tell this story all the time. First game, rookie year going up against you. You had a field day against us. Cam Newton first game. So Larry the whole week, he's like, man, don't talk to him, man. Do not talk to Steve Smith, man. I'm telling you, he's going to try to pull you into the game and try to lure you to sleep. Just that. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. I'll be all right. You know, if you talk trash to me, I'm a man. I'll be able to handle it. And like you said, when we got in the game, I think you caught like a comeback on me and you said something. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't nothing towards a trash. It was like, all right, young pup, something like that. And from that point on, it was like you said, it was nothing but respect. You know yeah. what I mean? And that helped bring the best out of my game. And I saw that brought the best out of your game. It was just, it was like a tug of war, tug and pull, man. And that's the great thing I love about going up against the best, because those are things you remember, those conversations, those battles, those, like you said, studying moments. That's what I love about the game. And that's what I love about going up against greats like you.
Well, what's crazy is you mentioned that a lot of times there were times I really wasn't talking to you mm-hmm. or my defender unless a guy egged me on or kind of probed me. Because I've noticed a lot of DBs play victim sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, he's talking mess. And so when I'm saying, all right, it's going to be all day, young pup. Well, one, because we have Fell on the team, LaFell, right? LFU, he like, hey, I know I'm supposed to be on the same team, but I'm just telling you, that young boy ain't no punk. And I'm like, well, first of all, who team you on, Ninja? You know, and then so me doing that, a lot of times I would be talking out loud mm-hmm. to about a guy, or like say I'm going against a guy and a guy try to jam me, right? And he come up and he lunge and I catch it, I spin it, and I'm saying, I don't know why he trying to bump you like that. Like, I don't know why
you were talking to yourself.
I was talking to myself, because also when I'm training, when I used to train off season, I would be talking to myself.
Right.
I'm motivating myself, because on that island, you ain't got no other help.
No doubt about it.
So I'm talking, you know, to myself out loud. You just happen to be in the area. I remember, right. Who is it? Gerard Powers?
Powers, yeah, yeah.
So he was telling me how when we played the Cardinals and somebody tried to tackle me. And when he came to Baltimore, he was telling me that story. And I explained it to him and he goes, I get it. Because I guess one of the guys tried to tackle me. And I was like, this dude trying to cover me? They think he can cover you today?
Right.
And I'm not talking.
Right. I remember that.
That individual. I'm talking to me.
And you spent the ball. I remember that.
Yes. I'm spending the ball and talking like, hey, because the next play, it's still me out there again.
Right.
That's what's up. Hey, while we got you talking about the technical side of things, Steve, what were some of the things that you would pick up on corners that were trying to cover you? Like, a lot of people don't understand how cerebral the game is. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. just about physical skill sets and physical attributes, but the mental part is extremely crucial. But when you watching a corner, what were some things that you would pick up on that would put you in the mindset of, you know what, I can get him on this route, I can get him on that route? What were you looking out for?
So here's the uniqueness of me, how I look at things as a player and also as an analyst. So when I look at a receiver, and I know you didn't ask me this, but I was looking at a receiver and they say, which quarterback do you want to play with? The first question I have is, who's my offense coordinator?
Right.
Because your offense coordinator tells you a lot.
Right.
So when I look at, when I look at a DB, the first thing I look at is I look at the safety. The safety is going to tell me what that corner is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Safety's right in the middle of the field and the other safety is down weak. Well, that means I'm literally air quotes right now, man to man. Now, as they rotate and he rotates up, I'm still looking now. So I look at the safety. Then I look at the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at the corner. And there have been times where I've told the corner, I know you're in cover six, so come on down, brother. I'm disguising it. I already know what y'all doing.
Right.
Come on down. Come on. Let's quit playing the games. Just come on down to right here. Right? So that's what I look at. Safety, linebacker, corner. And then from that corner, but then prior to the game, I'm looking at the D coordinator. Is it a Leslie Frazier? Is it a Vance Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this guy? Who, you know, what is this guy potentially? What does he run? What does he like to run? And then I know, you know, the player that I'm going against, what is his attributes that, you know, what is his good attributes that he's very good at? And what isn't he good at?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and then what route am I running? So a lot of times I would change up if I'm supposed to, like I played P and I'm supposed to run a comeback and I'd be lined up at the bottom of the numbers, inside the numbers, stem outside, run 18 yards and come back downhill straight back to the ball. That's illegal in y'all's world.
Right.
But that gets me to make you think. And if you think, that means you stop your feet.
Right.
Right. So just doing that. I know he knows that I know on old Carolina Panthers, 3rd and 18, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 10, what am I running?
Base route.
I'm running a basic, a deep end.
I already know.
So I would do the deep end three ways. One, line outside, stem inside, straighten inside. Up, wiggle, go across the middle.
Yep.
Actually four. So then I'll do, come in, I do that Cadillac turn. Mm-hmm. I hit that thing about 16 yards and I'm humming.
Just roll into it. Yeah.
Just roll into it. Hit me before the hash. Because if it ain't, I'm tackling the interceptor. I'm not taking that head hunting. Right. Then the other part, I'll line up inside, stem out, straight up, wiggle, because I've already gave him a corner, a comeback.
I was just about to say that. I used to run seven to come back soup.
Exactly. Bang. And now I can run inside. So I break all the rules that all these coaches have taught.
Right.
And then I'll just line straight up, run straight at him. He looking at me, I'm looking at him. He's like, what are you running? Oh, in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I would, and how I was able to do that is I learned, long as I keep the integrity and the depth of the route, mm-hmm. I can run it from anywhere.
Right.
And I run a curl by stemming it outside, coming back, straightening it up and running back to the quarterback, pushing off mm-hmm. on P, catching it. He's looking at the referee and, you know, hey. And he'll be like, all right, I got you.
Hey, right? Speaking of that, man, you probably don't remember this, but it was second quarter going up against our sideline. It was like 3rd and maybe 5. It was 3-by-1 trips to the backside. Me and you down at the boundary. Joe Flacco gave you some center. I can't remember what it was, but you ran a stop. But like you said, you stemmed outside. Now like you was going to run that goal and came back down. And I kind of like tugged your 9 on your jersey and I broke up the ball. He was like, "Grab me, y'all at me. He y'all at me. Just see y'all at me, man."
Absolutely.
But that just goes into the tug of war of the game, man.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, dramatic. Oh, so I'm hey, straight light skin.
Hey,
man. I love it. Hey, well, so Steve, we're going to move on a little bit about different scenes of football with me and Mac being from South Florida and you being from the West Coast. What you like? Talk to us about the scene of that LA football, man.
Well, I mean, it's obviously back in the mix. You know, LA has always been a staple of entertainment, mm-hmm. and now you have football. You know, but the thing is, they got to win,
yeah. right?
LA is a place, they'll ride or die with you, but if you ain't winning, you know, they'll let you go. You see the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers, you don't even know that's a football team out there just because of the attendance prior to COVID. Like, people weren't attending. They were in the soccer stadium, you know, what, 20,000?
Right.
Probably it was like a away game for them every week.
Right.
So the football scene out there, but here's something I don't think you know. Back in the 80s and 90s when LA was popping entertainment-wise, the sports teams were unbelievable.
Right.
Back in the 80s and 90s, you had
Raiders.
You had Showtime with the Lakers.
Yep.
You had Oakland and LA going back and forth, right? Then you had the young Darius Miles, Lamar Odom with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Right? Then you had Jerome Bettis, Lawrence Phillips with the Anaheim and the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. Right? So then you had the 80s with Wayne Gretzky in hockey.
Right.
You got Tommy Lasorda, God rest his soul, with the Dodgers. You got the Angels, you know. So when LA sports teams are booming,
yeah,
LA is the place to be.
No doubt about
it. It's feeding the economy. Mm-hmm. Right? And I know you know, B Mac, you're over there frowning up your face a little bit, but that's just how the West Coast is, right? It's California, Florida, and Texas. That's where the athletes come. That's where they are, man.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And speaking of your roots and everything like that, and we all know you as a wide receiver.
Right.
But in high school, you played what, running back and DB. What prompted the switch to wide receiver permanently?
Well, in high school, I played DB, like you said, and I played H-back, running back. We weren't throwing the ball, really. We didn't have really a good quarterback to throw the ball. And, you know, in high school, you know, throwing the ball in high school is you're either doing it or it's extremely complicated.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I played DB, but what happened is I played in an all-star game. And I was susceptible to double moves. I was, you know, I was antsy.
You were aggressive.
And so they switched me to wide receiver at junior college, into the slot. And it was one of those things where I wanted to play. And I was used to playing DB. I like playing DB, but I also like playing.
Yeah.
So I had to make a decision, you know, am I going to gripe and complain or am I going to just do this transition? And so, you know, looking back on it, the head coach was Robert Taylor, who, you know, just he loved on me. He was a great, great man. Passed away, you know, probably about 10, 12 years ago. But he was also the same coach. He was there from, I believe he died in 2007. He passed away. He had been the head coach for Santa Monica Junior College from 1978 till the day he passed.
Wow.
Right. You know, he coached me. He coached Chad. He coached Isaac Bruce. Right. But the thing is he gave a lot of young men who didn't have many opportunities coming out of high school a legitimate opportunity to get a college scholarship to go on and try and attempt to play professional sports, but also get a college education.
Mm-hmm.
I knew from the very beginning is we didn't have money for college. So I had to get there somehow. And, you know, my mom, being who she is, she was like, look, you ain't going to sit at the house and do nothing. You got to enroll in school or get a job or move out.
Mm.
So I had a job, I enrolled in school, and I moved out.
Did all three.
No question.
Hey, well, speaking of Santa Monica, you was teammates with Chad Johnson. How did you guys get along, man? How was those trash talk battles?
No question. Who's the best trash talk?
I mean, actually, Chad. So the unique thing about Chad, you know, Chad, myself, we all quick with it. But Chad was a bounce back from, I think, Livingston or Livingston College. And his grandmother had sent him to L.A. to kind of shape up and live with his mom. And what's interesting is Chad was a Florida dude. And, you know, B-Mac, like, back in the 90s, like that was when East Coast and West Coast beef was thick.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, he came out with the flamboyant clothes and the loud clothes and talking about this Florida. And you know, you West Coast, you're like, bro, this ain't Florida. If you want to be a Florida, go back to Florida. This is LA.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, you know, Chad has always been Chad.
Right.
But it was at a time where, you know, he was a Florida cat trying to make it in L.A., and he did, and he was. But it was against odds for him because of, at the time and the climate, man, you know, it wasn't this East Coast, West Coast, down South. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't being accepted. Mm-hmm. One of those places where it was like, yeah, you know, that's the Florida dude. It was like, nah, bro, like, take that somewhere.
Yeah.
It was unique and fun, though. It was fun. And it was some of the best time that I learned about ball and learned a lot and experienced a lot because we were a talented bunch of guys who had no direction.
But super talented.
No super doubt talented. About it.
We had no direction, but no direction.
Yeah. And because of that talent,
out for the both of y'all.
No question. It panned out well for both of them, right?
No legitimate complaints here.
Hey, but so Steve, because of your success, you know, at Santa Monica, you ended up going to Utah.
Yeah.
You know, and was successful there as well. But what advice would you give young scholars that have to go the junior college route? You know, what advice would you give them, you know, being able to fulfill their dreams and get to the level in which you got to?
I really think right now, just the way everything is, if I can go backwards, the one thing I do business and pay attention to your school. And I understand and I get this is not your final destination. I respect that. However, there are some men and women and people and institutions that you are going to be able to use this well beyond football. Mm-hmm. So don't look at it as a pass through or you just grabbing a cup of coffee, because if you do it right, some of these men and women and institutions that have given you an opportunity, one, they will call on you to return the favor. And this is the favor I'm pertaining to is I was able to go to University of Utah during college because a complete stranger donated money to either a public institution for endowment. Or scholarship that didn't know the knucklehead that they've invested in and didn't know that the school was going to pay for this guy. And so without those random acts of kindness, that complete stranger, I would have never been able to go to those schools. I would have never had that opportunity. So I think really saying that you need to focus really on your studies, grab something that you can use. Because no matter how long, even look at Tom Brady, 43 years old, he still has so much more life to live after his career right. is over. And reading and writing and conducting yourself and being able to look at a P&L and a sheet and read contracts and understand things, you can't wish that upon yourself. You have to learn that. Right. And your education and the institutions will and can provide that. And also, don't burn no bridges at the institutions you're at. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, you're going to grow up and have children. And you're going to want your kids, if they have the opportunity, to wear that same badge of alumni that you have. You know, none of my boys actually play football. And so I know if Utah doesn't have a soccer team, but I know because of my influence and also commitment to the University of Utah, I believe they would at least offer them because I'm heavily active. I'm on a athletic advisory board. I'm always involved. Every time I go to Utah, I'm always stopping by, just seeing how things are, stopping by practice, saying hello to the guys. I'm never too big or too important to go back there because I love the fact, you know, when I get up on a Saturday morning, one of my kids is wearing a Utah shirt that the school sent me, right? Or football. We play fetch with our dog and we use one of the kid footballs that used to be one of our kids, man. That's, for me, that's priceless. That's what I love about it. That's what I have so much pride for my school, even though other guys may not. They're like, oh, that's Utah, but Utah chose me.
Right.
No doubt. So,
man, speaking of priceless moments and cherishing, you know, people, your third year, you made it to the Super Bowl and came up close against the New England Patriots. Yeah. How much did you cherish that group in that season?
I didn't cherish it as much as I probably should because I'm so goal-oriented. that I was focused on that. Hey, we need to do this so we could be, you know, be ready for the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship game or the divisional game. Right. So I didn't really appreciate that much because just the way I was, my makeup. But like everybody else, I thought this year we make it. We didn't, we'll be back next year. And next year, you know, guys got picked up, guys got re-signed to other teams because we went to the Super Bowl and people wanted that championship type of atmosphere in their locker room. Mm-hmm. So going to the Super Bowl, whether you win it or lose it, has a residual effect on everybody in the building. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and you know, both of y'all know, man, sometimes that dude was on the Super Bowl team, a winning team, but that brother didn't contribute as much as you know.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I know there's some guys I know walking around here in Charlotte or in other places, even back home, that they got Super Bowl rings. And even with my podcast, you know, you'll have, you guys know, you'll have people say, ask you, man, would you trade it all for a Super Bowl? And realistically, man, I'm not trading 16 years going to get some of the best guys in the world, traveling the world and seeing football in a different perspective to get a ring that at the end of it, yeah, it was great, but my damn DirecTV bills, they don't give me no discount because I got it or lack one. You know, it doesn't change. Right. So
at all.
I mean, it's one of those things I appreciate more of what I got to experience. And I didn't get the experience of winning a Super Bowl, but I got the experience of a lifetime that I wouldn't change a dude winning two Super Bowls, playing for, you know, playing for 10 years, starting five and riding the bench for five more. I'm good.
Right.
Well, after that Super Bowl run, I mean, expectations were extremely high, you know, for the Panthers and for you as an individual. But you had an ugly season-ending injury, right? And then in 2005, man, that you took over. I think what you led the league in receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
Only Jerry Rice and Sterling Sharpe, the only two other pass catchers to do that, wide receivers to do that. So what clicked for you, Steve, mentally and physically coming off that season ending injury in 04? What clicked for you in 05 to be able to dominate like you did?
One of the interesting things is when I broke my ankle, that's when they didn't, you know, they didn't have the IR designation to return. Mm-hmm. So they kept me as injured. And then at some point they had to make a decision that I can't come back. And so they had to put me on IR. And what was really intriguing was I broke my ankle, tore the ligaments and the inside and outside. And it was a long, agonizing healing process. I wasn't allowed to rehab till the next year. So I had to have I got screws and then sewn up my ligament. So I had the healing of the break and then the healing of the torn repaired ligaments. What really triggered it is Musa Muhammad, great friend of mine, big brother, man, he was balling and the world kept going. Mm-hmm. They started losing the, you know, one or two games I was gone. But then after that, they went on a run and missed the playoffs. But I was like, man, I'm not that valuable. And so when I was able to start training and I trained with my guy and I trained with my guy, I was like, no, they're going to miss me. Like the next time I get injured, there's going to be a glaring absence when I'm not there anymore. And at the time, I was about 2 years in of I had my own sports psychologist that I had hired, who was a golf guy. And so I was doing sports psychology back in February 2003. I had 6 or 7 months of just thinking about my, you know, about daily, monthly, short term, long term, lifetime goals. So what really clicked for me is this wasn't just a lifestyle. It was who I was professionally in a way of we're not just here to run routes. We're just not here to catch passes. And we're here to play. We're here to I don't really like using the word career. I use it as a job. And the reason I say job is, I know I'm saying it is a career, but I meant job is like, you know, now as an adult, I hear as a dad and all that stuff, I hear, you know, a job is where you clock in. But for me is, none of the folks I grew up with had the kind of job that I had. A lot of them were, you know, they worked, they clocked in, they did their job. They didn't really respect it. But for me, like, I never really had a job. I, you know, I worked at fast food. But so when it clicked a career and job, man, it was, I looked at ball different. I approached it differently. I approached practice with so much intensity. I approached the game with so much intensity. We watch them film. Hey, give me everything. I don't know, just give me the little, you know, cut ups that we're going to watch on Wednesday and watch the same boring clips on Thursday. I used to be in a meeting. I already watched this yesterday. Give me something new.
Right.
I watched it. We watched that yesterday. Give me cover two. Give me cover three. Give me six. Don't just show me the plays that you want me to believe, you know, you want me to watch. Or I'll be like, hey, we don't have Drew Brees. So I ain't Marcus Coaster. Y'all ain't got me running these exotic routes. So don't show me plays we ain't running. Show me the weak ass in route that I'm running against Patrick Peterson. Don't show me Drew Brees running it where he did this and did that. I don't want that.
Right.
I want the fantasy life. I want the real boring ass offense that we run. Right? And I would challenge the coaches in that way because, one, if you're a player, you're just sitting there, you go, oh, okay, this is what he's supposed to do. And then you get in the game and he does something different.
Right.
And now you stuck like Chuck. And then you ain't very good.
Right. The coach ain't going to be out there.
Coach ain't going, yeah, you know. Yeah, we didn't really show him that, you know, so it's my fault.
That's what comes to being a pro. You know, it comes with being a pro, man. Hey, but with you making the transition over to the media, we had a little bit of time to chat about it before we started the show. How do you approach carefully critiquing the players in the league and the people that you've known for a long time?
Well, I mean, I approach it the same way. You play well, I'm going to say, man, I love watching them play. Mm-hmm. But I got to call you out when I got about three or four accounts where I can get statistics. And if I'm sitting there watching you play and yeah, you got five picks for the year, but when targeted, your target percentage is 67%. Mm. Bro, 67% when targeted? Yeah. That ain't ball.
Right.
Where I'm from, we call that a prom date.
Right? Why you call it a prom date?
Hey, you know why you call it. Listen, okay, how about this? If I tell y'all the Powerball is that whatever it is, and if you buy for $1, you have a 67% chance of winning $200 million, are you going to look at me and go, no, nah, I'm good. You're going to go buy that
for $1? For $1? Hell yeah, I'm all in.
Damn $1, give me $7. I'm going. You know, so when I look at film, I will allow the film to create my opinion about you.
Yeah.
So if I'm watching film and they say, man, he's a good player. But I'm watching film, I'm going, well, he has lazy hips. He's always grabbing. And when targeted, this is his – you ain't great, right? You may be good or you may be having a good year. That's just like a wide receiver. He can't catch, but he runs great routes. That's a tight end.
Right.
That used to be the old tight ends.
Right.
Right? So when I watch film, man, I'm watching film and then I'm getting statistics. TV, my producers do not feed me what they want me to say. I say how I feel, and the only thing they say is, well, Steve, you know, especially for me, they're like, well, you may not want to say it like that. I put my foot in my mouth this year. I'm not really a huge Baker Mayfield fan, because he plays the narrative is us, you know, he's always playing victim. Oh, nobody, everybody's counting us out. They're not counting you out. they're not counting out the Bears. They're just counting out the quarterback who has shown that he's inconsistent, mm-hmm. right? They're counting out the guy who at times, at critical moments, does some Baker type of stuff, right? Throws a pick, going for a fourth and one, a third and one, and fumbles the ball, right?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Now, Baker has done it this past Sunday. Man.
He played ball.
He did. Now the question is, if he continues to play Baker type of football and let Coach Stefanski continue to put him in great positions by running the ball and isolating him and allowing him to do that one or two read and then take off, he's right. not a traditional quarterback who goes methodically through all four or five of his reads. He's a one or two read quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what our film study says. So people say, well, he was a Heisman. He was this at Oklahoma. Yes, he was. But when I'm watching a game and he does this, looks and takes off running, that's a one read quarterback.
Yeah,
right.
And I got a 65, I got a 55, I got a 25-inch TV. They all look the same no matter where. If you do this and then take off running.
One read. You only look at that one progression. You look at that one progression.
Well, HD, you know, Blu-ray, whatever, like the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, it's there.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of quarterbacks, you know, one of your former teams, the Baltimore Ravens, took a loss to the Buffalo Bills. And Lamar Jackson has been getting a lot of criticism. They've been very, very critical of Lamar Jackson. Kind of deserving so because he was the MVP last year. But my personal opinion, I would love to hear your offensive expertise. A young quarterback can only do so much with number twos and number threes. You know what I mean? You look at the growth of Josh Allen. You look at the growth of Josh Allen from last year to this year. Individually, he has improved, no question, right?
Absolutely.
But a lot of his improvements have come from having a proven number one to throw the football to in Stephon Diggs. And right now in Baltimore, they don't have an ideal number one wide receiver that can help the growth of Lamar Jackson. What are your thoughts about that?
So I think you're missing the key ingredient. Josh Allen has improved, yes, because they have Stephon Diggs. However, you didn't think Stephon Diggs would lead the league in receptions by the way he played in Minnesota because of the creativity of the offensive coordinator.
Right.
So when I look at Hollywood Brown, who when they drafted him in the first round, he was maybe 110. That's like after Thanksgiving, right? However, when we watch Hollywood Brown in Oklahoma, he was running all over the field.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens start their receiver, first of all, is their tight ends coach is Bobby Engram, former wide receiver for the
Seattle
Chicago Bears, the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
And he's their tight ends coach. That's why they have some of the best tight ends in the game, because they have a coach that understands the blocking scheme, but also understands how to run routes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mark Andrews is an excellent tight end, all pro. But when you pair him with Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson, and if you go back and watch the film, Buffalo was in zone coverage and they're running two-man routes. They're running.
Which I didn't understand.
Right, a tight end and a speedy young receiver, and they run his own coverage. And you wonder why Lamar can't throw it, because one, no one's open, and it's not because those guys can't get separation. You're not putting them in a good position, right? Utilize what Hollywood Brown did in college. Mimic that. You've mimicked what kind of offense you run for Lamar Jackson. So mimic the same passing game to help your young wide receiver who's light in the pants. Get him in motion. Get him running some flares. Get him out in space and allow him to utilize his speed. But they don't do that. What they're doing is they've created an unbelievable run game, but an average pass game. It's elementary, to be honest. Yeah,
I agree.
So you're saying it's more a scheme than anything?
I'm saying it's everything.
Yeah.
Because if you got a Phillips head in Hollywood Brown, but you got a flathead screw in a passing game,
they don't mix.
Is that screw going to screw in?
No.
No.
You can try to strip it, but it ain't going to work.
It ain't going to work.
And guess what? That's what happened with them. And they're saying, well, those guys don't get separation. It doesn't matter if you got Jerry Rice out there. At some point, Jerry Rice needs help getting him open when the defense has pretty good plan against you.
And that's
the problem. And Lamar is in this place where they're making him one-dimensional, where we're going to stop the run. Now beat us with the pass. Unfortunately, their pass game is suspect.
It's simple.
So I'm glad you said that. So I have a question for you. This is a billion-dollar industry. Billions of dollars in the league, millions of dollars being made by the players, and you got a $5 route tree.
Doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. But you know what? From the technical side, you know, you see that, we see that. But a lot of naysayers don't see that. Mm. You know what I mean? And they don't understand the game. You got a simplified offensive passing scheme, and you have a limited amount of legit pass catchers that help your quarterback. I mean, this upcoming season, I think they need to start becoming more strategic in their offensive game plan and also acquire some guys that can help your young quarterback continue to grow. Like, prime example out there with Pat Pete. Kyler Murray's a stud, but Kyler Murray is a better stud when he's throwing to DeAndre Hopkins.
No doubt about it.
But you found out he was a stud day one.
No question. Mm-hmm. And the same can be said for Lamar Jackson.
And he is a stud.
Yes.
Here's the question. Is he a stud in the pass game?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not yet.
Is he going to – bro, it's third and five. Here's a play that got me. It's third and five. You run a quarterback sweep?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You went that to the boundary.
To the boundary.
That's how stupid. Right? So here's the thing. So you telling me when you drafted Hollywood Brown, you telling me that he couldn't win on a slant?
Right.
A slant? Or either a speed out. A sprint speed out.
A freaking
that's
whip,
my whole something. Point.
Yeah, they ran that quarterback sweep to the boundary. I thought I was watching part one of football.
Man.
That's my thing. Like, but they're not gonna. The media isn't gonna ask questions like that. They're not gonna say, "Hey, did you think running the sweep to the boundaries was a smart move?" They're not gonna say that.
No, right.
They're gonna say, "Oh, well, the left tackle got beat, and the left guard got beat." Well, of course he did, because they already ready and prepared, because they have analytics, they have analysis, they have scouts, and they have coaches that said, "Hey."
When they come
in this formation, I know it's to the boundaries, but they stupid enough, they're going to run it to the boundary. And when they said Sid Hunt, they're going, they can't be running. They going to the boundary. And that's what happens.
No doubt. Hey, Steve, so we about to switch to our superlative part of the show. We're going to hit you with rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
With your honest, unbiased answer. So my number one for you.
I'm always going to be honest.
Oh, we already know. We already know
that.
My number one for you. Top five NFL players under 5'10" ever.
Oh, ever. So my top right now, I got to say, you know, goes to the guy that I grew up watching him. He was on my recruiting trip coming out of college, Henry Eller.
Mm.
Right. And then I got right now, I got the cheetah, Tyreek Hill as well.
Yep.
I don't know if necessarily, I'm pretty comfortable and confident that I know I'm 5'9", 3/4", but is Julian Edelman under 5'10", or is he a little bit?
I think he might be under 5'10".
I think he might be just at 5'10".
Okay, so Julian Edelman, I love Edelman, to be honest, man. I just love how he plays.
Yeah. He a football player.
Yes.
I forgot about it. He a ball player.
You know, Wes Welker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Walker. Deion Branch, I like the dirty.
Okay.
And then one, though, I don't know if he is, but I just grew up watching him too, is Eric Metcalf, man.
Ooh, 21 Cleveland Browns. Yeah. With that high white spec.
The shins.
Yes, sir. He had that spec all the way up to his shin bone.
Not about it, man. Hey, your best quarterback you ever played with?
See, that's interesting because each quarterback I played with, obviously Jake. So I always answer this because people are kind of weirded out by it, but I mean, athletically, the best quarterback I ever played with, obviously, is Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, the other thing is I always say Jake DeLone because this is why. Me and Jake DeLone grew together and we got paid together.
Mm-hmm.
We were together the longest and we've been through the highs and lows. And so, you know, it's always Jake DeLone, but one of the guys that really taught me a lot, P, is Vinny Testaverde.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only in Carolina for a little bit. But, man, what I learned about Vinny is Vinny told me this, and I tell every wide receiver this. He said, man, I remember when I was with the Jets and Lavernius Coles, ears perked up. I'm like, all ears.
Right.
And he said, man, always do this, Steve. In an inside route, no matter what you do, you always finish in the inside. In an outside route, no matter what you do, always finish on the outside. Mm-hmm. Man, he gave me that goal, and I remember it. I'll be 42 in May. I never forgot it. He said, you can jumping jack, backflip, but your ass better finish on the inside.
Right.
And so, P, if you go back in our conversation earlier, everything I did, inside, outside, I always gave you something.
But to get back always, to where?
Get back.
To where you were. Yep, get back to where you wanted to finish.
Man, it was – so each one of those guys, I learned something. You know, I learned how to get paid with Jake. I learned what the new athletic quarterback looks like with Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. And then I learned with Vinny Testaverde that he learned from other guys. And I still talk to Vinny Testaverde to this day. I'll text him here and there, just check in on him and just say something, man. And the other thing is we picked him up midway through the season. This dude fresh off the airplane, 40-something years old. I think he was 46 at the time. Came up there and, you know, just lightly bench pressed 250 about 15 times.
And quarterback, you don't see quarterbacks doing that.
Not at all.
And put it up back on there and walked out. I said.
No doubt. Hey, that's a special specimen right there. You don't see quarterbacks over there, especially at that age. Uh-oh. Who would you, on the field individually, who would you consider was your biggest rivalry on the field individually as a matchup?
I mean, it had to be, you know, at the time, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, you know, and that whole NFC West / NFC South.
And that Buccaneers, they had Ron, they had Barber.
But they also had Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, number 25. He was nice.
He was
real nice.
They had Dwight Smith.
Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson.
Yeah, Dexter came out to
New Orleans had Mike McKenzie.
Dirty Mike. He used to trip me going across. They also, who did they have? And then they had Ashley Ambrose in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
Ray Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It was a lot of different guys. And then actually the dude that really gave me fits, man, but I respected him and I knew I needed to be that guy and be on my P's and Q's, man. Al Harris. For the Green Bay Packers. Al was just one of those guys that I just had to be on my P's and Q's. He'll jump you. He'll play press. He'll play catch. He just did a lot of different stuff.
Yo, his length was something that you couldn't coach.
No.
He was a long, rangy corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he used it to his ability. He knew his strengths. And boy, he maximized that skill set that he had with that length. Next question for you. Who is your favorite wide receiver currently still in the playoffs?
I like it. You know, Devontae Adams is just doing a hell of a job, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the craziest things is Devontae doesn't get a lot of credit because he has this ace in the hole called Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers has made a lot of players, say, like a la Javon Walker.
Mm-hmm. J-Walk, Florida State guy.
Yeah, made – he's given them the opportunity where you go, man, he can play, and then those guys sometimes go to other teams and don't have the same production.
Yeah.
But the way Davante Adams is playing, how he's done it, and quietly, yes, he's benefiting from playing one of the best quarterbacks, but he's still giving dudes that business on in the route game. So I love watching him play. I'm really impressed with Chris Godwin dealing with the finger and all mm-hmm. that stuff. He's a speed guy who has really harnessed his route running ability pretty good, pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. I like Gabriel Davis. He's really doing really well with the
young fella from UCF, if I'm not mistaken, yes. with the Bills.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously Mike Evans, you know, I don't mention him just because he's a staple. He's like, you know, it's like when you need – Mike Evans is like peanut butter and jelly, bro. If you want to – you're hungry, you know, you always get filled up with a PB&J, right? That's what Mike Evans is, right?
No doubt.
And then, you know, and then obviously I'm really impressed with Tariq Hill, but I want to see a little bit from Mecole Hardman and see what he's doing and can he take his route game to another level and not depend on all his speed as much.
You know,
when guys depend on their speed and when their speed starts to leave them and they have to learn how to run routes, they're at an age where it's too late and they start to get phased out. So that's the only thing I try to emphasize to speed guys is, man, that's great. You know, can you run routes? Make sure you improve your route game. Because when your speed goes, you got to be able to lean on something else.
No question. Is there a young receiver that reminds you of you?
No.
None. Nobody close. If you had to pick one,
here's why I say no is because let's be honest, man. It took a long time for people to respect my game.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being honest. And I don't want to say, oh, this guy reminds me of myself. That guy reminds me of him.
Yeah.
If I use Tariq Hill as an example, he wants to go on, if he can continue to keep doing what he's doing, he wants to go on the Hall of Fame, not as Steve Smith, as his own name.
As Tariq Hill.
That's Tyreek Hill. So I that's why I say there's nobody reminds me of myself, because there's also some things that those guys can do that I can't. And so I'm not going to be, you know, selfish and say, man, that guy reminds me of me, because I've seen me. Now, ain't no part of Tyreek Hill remind me of myself. You know? Ain't none of that for whatever remind me of myself. That's all him.
Hey, you said it the right way. For whatever. We don't even know what he running, but we know it's for something.
It ain't on my clock.
He's one of one when it comes to that element.
Absolutely. And so I just hate hearing that, because I also don't want to taint, man. These young men are building their own careers, their own legacy. No, you know, and I really believe and letting those guys build their own legacy because it is important. I don't like the comparison. Like, it ain't no Randy Mosses. It ain't no other Randy Mosses out there.
I don't think we'll ever be another Randy Moss either.
Exactly. It may be the next guy, but it ain't going to never be another Randy Moss.
No question. Well said. Last question for you here, superlative part of our show. Your dream podcast guest, who is it?
It's a great question.
Who is it? Your dream podcast guest?
Currently, right now?
Yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Ooh. Respect. Super consistent. Mr. Consistent. And why would he be your dream podcast? Is it a personal fan favorite for you? You grew up as a fan, or?
Oh, I mean,
what's that connection?
No, I mean, growing up a fan, I was a Pernell Whitaker fan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my podcast, Cut to It, is a different podcast, and I love to figure out the individuals.
Yeah.
What makes them tick? What were they going through when they made that great catch? You know, I know P, you know, he's how he's had to deal with adjusting to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has that been like? What was the transition? What was he doing? what led up to him getting that test of diabetes? What was he going through all of that to figure out what led to getting the test? And then when he received the information, how has he changed his lifestyle? Like, that's, man, that's the uniqueness of me. That's why I don't want to know what was it like making that catch. I want to know what was going on in your heart. What negative conversations were you having when and before the moment and in the huddle when the coach was telling you, play, you're getting a signal and you're lining up and you going and you have that negative thought or that positive thought. Take me through that. That's why on my podcast, we kind of talk about that. I don't really talk about ball. I want to know the individual inside the shirt, inside the hat. That's what I love to do. That's the uniqueness of it. That's why, for me, Sugar Ray Leonard, because I want to hear, you know, I was born in 79, so I grew up in the 80s and 90s where boxing
was a big deal.
And it was a, you know, you box twice a year, right?
Yeah.
And I want to know the training regimen, the psychology of what he went through and how he went through and what he experienced, what he didn't experience, man. That's why I want to know, you know, what was it like when you won in Olympics, or what was it like when you went through the Olympics? What was it like when you first beat, you know, just all the things that he went through? What was it like being a Black Olympian in the 80s and 90s? I grew up, you know, we went through the LA riots, Reginald Denny, Rodney King. I could not understand and rationalize what that was going on as a young man. So now as a man, as 42 and has lived some life, that would screw me up today.
No question.
And I want to know like those things.
Question. That's deep. That's what's up. The versatility of being able to communicate.
Yeah.
And be informative at the same time. That's a blessing. That's a blessing, man. Well, that wraps it up, man. We appreciate you joining us here on All Things Covered. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you got going on? You talked about the podcast. What else you got brewing?
Man, one of the things through my foundation, the Steve Smith Family Foundation here in Charlotte, North Carolina, there are over 5,000 children that are homeless in the public school system.
Wow.
And virtually, you know, virtual school has been extremely tough for them, because think about it. And when you say what's homelessness here under the McKinley-Vento Act law here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that means that you don't have a permanent residence. You either live with a family member, you're sleeping in a car, you know, you're living in a extended stay, a hotel, motel. And so we have taken on the responsibility of, we've rented out some office space. Now we have the luxury of renting out a part of a school here in North Carolina. And we are providing, with the CDC guidelines, enough space, social distancing. But we have staffed about 12 to 14 teachers' assistants who now have jobs, who are laid off. And they're helping these kids learn virtually and figure out, because usually when these kids are going in the summertime, when it's called the summer layoff, well, they usually lose about, they say it's equivalent. Statistics tell us that the 2 months that they're off for summer break, it gives you about 4 months of lack of education.
Wow.
So this pandemic hit, how many months? Bro, they're in years. We got first graders who can't count to 20.
Wow.
And we got kindergartners who can't count to 10. And they're virtually trying to figure it out. And so we have teamed up and partnered with the local community and with people and with CMS, Charlotte-Mecklenburg School System, to give these kids, these homeless kids, an opportunity to get education, to learn, to not fall behind even more than they already are. And so that's what we're doing here in Charlotte, through my foundation, through some great people. And to be honest, bro, it's literally like almost a $500,000 project.
Wow.
Because we're feeding these kids, because we're also providing lunch and breakfast. Because we're also cleaning, you know, cleaning up and making sure that we have had zero cases at our virtual learning academy. And we also are employing people who haven't had jobs because there's no schools for them to go to. Right. And our philosophy and our mission statement for our virtual school is math and reading transforms lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing. I think it's important because I know the struggle here in Charlotte. The kids in Charlotte aren't the only people that are struggling.
No question.
So that's what we're doing. And, you know, and I encourage people to figure out what's going on in your school district.
Yeah.
Where are these kids getting meals? Where are they getting served? And also, too, I don't know if you know, but do you know how penitentiaries get the statistics to keep growing and building more penitentiaries? By third grade testing scores.
They know that.
They know your third grade testing scores. They know that if you're struggling in the third grade, what's the chances of you improving in high school? That's how they're getting their statistics. So, you know, so it's just not, you know, looking apart, man, making sure you're doing your part, giving these young men and women the opportunity to get educated, to really go and be effective. Because the kids in this generation with COVID-19, right now, they don't feel like they can be the generation that prevailed through COVID-19. They feel like they're the worst generation, but they actually are the generation that can change because they have dealt with unprecedented times. But they don't feel that way, and we need to support them and get them to know, because when me and you get old, those are the kids that are going to be looking out for us and improving and being the next scientist and being the next president and being the next lawyer, district attorney, senators, and congressmen.
No doubt. That's a good thing. What's the website?
Steve Smith Family or stevesmithfdn.org.
Okay. There you have it, listeners and viewers. Make sure you give Steve Smith a check out, man. That's a real unique thing you're doing there. And hopefully, you know, that can spread throughout our country, because there are a lot of kids that are in dire need of that type of help and attention that you're giving them. So I know the people in Charlotte are loving what you're doing, and they're supporting you 110%. Steve Smith, senior, 16-year NFL pro, 5-time pro bowler, 2-time first-team all-pro, currently analyst for NFL Network. Make sure you check him out weekly on there, dropping big-time jewels. Also, his own podcast, Cut to It Podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's a pleasure having you on.
Appreciate it. We got to get you guys on there, man. Hear your stories about who you are, man.
No doubt. Anytime, man. Anytime. Just shoot me a quick text. You already know the number.
Thanks again to Steve Smith Sr., and thanks to everyone listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you next week, where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.